Amen. Thank you, Hosanna team. Repainting the Line is the title I chose to go with for this message this morning. Hopefully it'll make sense here in a bit. And the scripture we're going to be looking at is out of the story of Josiah, out of 2 Kings. If you want to get ready and find 2 Kings, really chapters 22 and 23. We'll be specifically looking at 2 Kings 23, verse 3. We've been in our home down the street for about 4 years. We moved in to 2314 Mount Pleasant Road, and it has a detached garage. Christina and I have 3 children, and I have the habit of accumulating toys for them many times from, well, sometimes alongside of the road, toys in good condition that can be fixed up. And other times there was a person I did some construction for, and they were getting rid of all their toys in great condition. So we had accumulated, you know, some power wheels and a couple wagons, and they have bicycles and a tricycle and all these things. And so a problem arose in which we store the toys in the garage along with our van. And they were clashing there. You see the toys in the van. And so this was a problem. You know, not that the kids were doing really anything wrong. You know, they were just, you know, having fun playing with their toys and would store them. But so Daddy made a rule. The toys need to be on the left side of the garage. Mama's van's on the right side. Okay, Daddy. Well, you know, time went on, and we found that, you know, this really was hard to follow here because, you know, a bike would be kind of out in the middle and couldn't get the van in, or, you know, the wagon would sort of find its way up against the van and get these red streaks across our white van, which is not a pleasant sight. And so Daddy said, wow, we have this problem, and okay, kids, we're going to do something here. We have this problem. We're going to try to sort it out a little better. I don't think Daddy's rule of toys on the left side is just really good enough. So Daddy painted a line, a white line, a dividing line in the garage. And so this was a boundary that really actually worked quite well. The kids knew where their toys could be. So Mama could pull her van into the garage. And there was the result, you know, so we did this, we put it into action, we actually made some places for the bikes to be stored as well, and there became this peace and joy in the Mast household in the garage, and so this was good. But here just recently, so Kaya and Grace, real clear on the line, knowing why the line was there, its purpose, and how to follow the line. Now, Lucas was quite young, and so actually just recently, you know, I said, you know, keep your stuff on the side of the line. He's like, yeah, why is that line there? You know, he didn't really realize what the line was there. So we, just the other day, actually just yesterday, we got around to repainting the line. And so now Lucas, you could put that, okay, there's the line. Okay, we got that up there. And you probably saw the slide of Lucas painting the line. So now Lucas understands this line, its purpose, and how to follow it. So you see that line faded away. It went away. And so he had no understanding of it. He wasn't taught about this line. So we repainted the line. The story of King Josiah. We're going to come back to that illustration here a little bit later. And it's found in 2 Kings, as I said, chapter 22 and chapter 23. Now, Josiah became king. His grandfather, Manasseh, and his father, Amon, as it says in the word, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. These were men who did not follow the law of God. These were men who did what they wanted to do. These were men who followed pagan practices. These were men who defiled greatly the temple of the Lord God Almighty, building shrines to pagan gods, Asherah poles, pillars to Baal, all kinds of things, influenced and encouraged household gods to be set up in people's homes. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah became king. Who knows how old Josiah was when he became king? 8 years old. 8 years old. That's young, isn't it, to become king? Wow. 8 years old. And Josiah, it says, he did what was pleasing to the Lord God Almighty. It says he did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And like David, he desired to do what was right. Desired in his heart to do what was right and follow God. Now, we know that David, he crossed the line a time or two, right? We know this. But his desire was to please the Lord God Almighty. We're going to go to look at this. Go to the next slide. There's that verse there. It says that. Let's see. The king took his place of authority. I'm skipping up around here. I need to tell about the temple. So I had mentioned that Manasseh, Ammon had defiled the temple. And so Josiah ordered those to repair the temple. The temple must have been in disarray. And he said, we'll hire carpenters, we'll hire masons and builders, and we're going to repair the temple. We're going to clean it out. We're going to remove this stuff, you know, and clean it up. And in the process of doing that, they found the book of the law. So it was probably, at least it was Deuteronomy. It might have been other books that we have in the Word of God here in front of us here today. But they found Deuteronomy. And so they started to read it. And it says that Josiah had never heard the law before. And it says when he did, he tore his clothes. He tore his clothes and wept in despair. He realized that how the people had been led so far astray, and that he was in a position of if there wasn't a change being made, he was in a position of leading them away from and dishonoring and displeasing the Lord God Almighty as well. He was responsible to instill the right ways of living. And so it says here, the king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. And he pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all of his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. In this way, he confirmed all of the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, this scroll that they had found, Deuteronomy. And all of the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So he took his place of authority, I'm assuming, in the temple. You know, that could be as well. I want to point out that many of you have places of authority as well. Fathers, you have places of authority in the home. This, I was thinking, actually, Lord just told this to me this morning, this pulpit sort of represents a pillar. A pillar, a place of authority. You know, I'm speaking to you. We're speaking about the authority of the written word here, the authority of God. And so there are places, you have places of authority, and there's all different levels and degrees of it in society. But wanting to realize and ask yourself, what is my place of authority, place where I can speak into other people's lives? Might even be in the workplace. You have a place where you can speak and speak into other people's lives, giving leadership. And so he took his place of authority and he renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. So yes, here is an image of a leader, a man. I want to just put a plug in here. Men, we're going to be looking at this book starting in July. It's Play the Man by Mark Batterson. If you see it in the bookstore, you have interest, you could pick up a copy. I think they're actually on sale now around Father's Day at Lifeway. But this book is really calling men to be the man of God they're called to be. I guess you could say calling men to man up in this world, spiritually, to stand up for the Lord God Almighty, to speak truth, and to give leadership, as we have this example of Josiah giving leadership among his people. And so, yes, Josiah was on this mission to reform the land of Judah. And so they started, cleaning out the temple. They started destroying. Throughout the land, there were these altars, these pagan shrines, and they were destroying things. And they would, stone statues and pillars, and they would bust them apart and spread them across the Kidron Valley. And they were burning Asherah poles. And these are, if you know about them, you can, horrible acts of immorality that were centered around the Asherah and what the god of Asherah, this goddess, this mistress of Baal, represented. Horrible things. Defiling the temple of God. This Asherah pole in the middle and all through the land. So he was destroying things. Destroying them. Cleaning up this land. These things were keeping the people from worshiping the one true God. They were turning them away from the one true God, these idols. I stop here to just ask the question, are there things that maybe are turning us away from the one true God? Stuff? Things we're allowing in our households? Maybe household gods that we have. We have to be sensitive to what the Spirit is pointing out in our lives. Are there things that are taking up our time and energy, keeping us from the living for the one true God, the living God? And so we have to remove these things as well. Josiah removed people. He removed these pagan priests. He removed mediums, sorcerers that were doing these pagan practices. They were encouraging pagan practices. So he was removing people as well. Question for us, are there people that we need to maybe shy away from that are influencing us in negative ways in our lives as well, keeping us from living our lives for the one true God? And it says in verse 25, Luke chapter 23, never before has there been a king like Josiah. Turn to the Lord with all of his heart, soul, and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses, and there has never been a king like him since. He was following these laws of God, these rules. Are rules good? Are they good? Yeah. Our speed limits are great rules or suggestions, if you will. There's many things that we have in our families, rules and that are good for our lives. And so does God have this book, this good book, with ways in which we can live good lives. He knows, as our Creator, what is good for us. Jesus was called teacher. They called him teacher. What did he teach? He taught the law, really. He taught what it meant. Well, he says it all boils down to these two things: loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And he fulfilled this law. He showed what it's like. Jesus came and painted lines for us. So we know how to live in peace and joy and to please the Father. Yeah, so Jesus was called teacher. And this is, there's this one instance where he was confronting religious leaders. They were trying to pin him into a corner, discredit him. And he says, this is found in Matthew 22, verse 29. I really love this verse right here. He says, Jesus responds to them. He says, well, your mistake here is that you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the good words of a loving father for his children to live by. What this book is, it's good for us. These are laws and rules and ways in which we can live good lives. And then he says, and you don't know the power of God. And this word power is dunamis. Essentially what he's saying, you don't know the dynamite power of God. You don't know the great, wonderful, mighty works that the Lord God Almighty can do. You don't understand the strength of God that He has to offer you so that you can live by and obey His ways to live in a life in abundance. And so, yes, those religious leaders didn't understand truth. They couldn't see their needs through their pride, through their head knowledge, through their wealth, these positions of influence that they had. Yes, this first man, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's what Josiah set out to do. Humility is so important when we try to do this. Realizing our great, great need as human beings to choose to live a life surrendered to Him. And secondly, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Who's our neighbor? Guess we can look around, right? You have some neighbors this morning. The people we rub shoulders with are our neighbors. Looking around to see how we can bless those around us in a me-first world. It's a me-first world out there. But we're called, as we just discussed in Sunday school, we're called to store up treasures in heaven. Called to store up treasures in heaven. And I see treasures as people, right? We're going to go on to the point. I'll put the point out here for you, okay? And I have a little diagram we're going to look at here. So I'm going to read the point first at the bottom here in red. In life, moments of truth come when God's good way for living life is realized and needs to be revived in family life or in individual life as well. So these moments of truth come. And that's illustrated there at the top. There's a dot. So this is a continuum. It's a circle, though. So there's the beginning point is that moment of truth, that dot up there. A moment of truth. Well, what's a moment of truth? A critical moment. A moment, a point in time where one must make a decision. One must make a choice. Now, some of you will probably go out to eat for lunch here soon. And you're going to be presented with a menu. It might be a menu that you're unfamiliar with. And you're going to be trying to decide, what do I want to eat? You know, have you ever been there? And the waiter comes, and you're like, just give me one more minute, you know? And you're still not sure. And then, you know, that minute passes and the waiter comes and they're just standing there. And you're like, oh, no, I got to make a choice. It's the moment of truth. I have to decide. And not making a choice, not making a decision is a choice. You're going to go hungry, right? So we need to realize that many times the Lord will present us with these situations in our life, these realizations that, hey, I've got to make a choice here. I've got to make a choice as a father, or I've got to make a choice as a mother, or I've got to make a choice as a leader, or I've got to make a choice as a person who has been devoted myself to being a Christ follower. And I've got to make a choice here, right? A moment of truth. So my moment of truth in that illustration for the garage was that, you know, realizing we've got a problem here. Realizing that this red streak, you know, down the van, you know, this is like, okay, something's got to happen here, you know. Or for Josiah, the book of the law surfacing. And he reads what it says and he's like, I've got to do something here. Got to do something. I mean, he could not do anything and just keep on keeping on, and he'd be held accountable, right? Moment of truth. And another little plug here for us, and you know, we're scroll bearers. You know, we're to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to reveal, like the scroll revealed what God wanted. This scroll revealed the goodness of God. You know, we're revealers. You know, we're called and we're motivated, we're moved along by the Spirit to reveal to people all around us the gospel so that they can have a moment of truth through the Holy Spirit maybe nudging them along to then observe their need. That's that next step. So we're starting to go around the circle. We observe our need. And so we see that we have this problem or whatever it is. We have this need to change something in our lives. And this is that repentance is on this side here. Observing our need and then discussing it with others or praying about it, discussing it with God. This is all of repentance, you know. You see the need, like Josiah saw the need. The scroll was presented. So he went to the advisors. He went to the priests to discuss it. One of the priests actually went to God to pray for the people. But this is a matter of understanding. You know, what is the Lord? How does he want me to respond here? And then you go over and you make a plan. Unfortunately, many times when the Lord God speaks to us in our lives, we stop right at the bottom. Oh yeah, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Okay. And we go on. And we don't make a plan to change. We don't believe that the Lord God could even change us or change our family or change our marriage or change that person, that neighbor. We don't believe. So we have to sit and we have to listen to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? He's going to give us a plan. He's going to lay it out for us when we seek him. And we need to believe that this could be true. And then we need to believe that this can be put into action. We need to believe that this can be put into action. And that's what it was, that was true for Josiah. They put it into action, this reform and this revival. And they celebrated Passover together, putting it into action. And it says in the Word, never before had they had a Passover like they had then. We put it into action in the Mast household. We made a plan and we put it into action. We painted that line. And sure, the line gets crossed, but it's good. We're living with peace and joy there, right? Yeah, fathers, we're called to repaint, if you will, the good lines of truth in our families, to keep these lines of truth visible. When we're repainting the lines, we're teaching, right? Doesn't it call us to teach our children? Doesn't it call us to teach the people around us? That's what we're doing. We're saying, okay, this is how we paint the line, and this is why we're doing it. It's good, right? Do you follow me? We have places of authority that we need to realize in our families, in the church, in our community. But we need to, I've talked about this, I think, before here, open and closed systems of family. Of family being able to function. So an open system of family is realizing that there are these lines. And I'll just use the illustration here of the garage. You know, the reality that, you know, some toys are going to go on the wrong side of the line. And that's okay. Because we all do is, really, we make mistakes. We all fail. And that's okay. There can be learning that comes from that. An example of a closed system would be, okay, you cross the line, we won't tell anybody. We'll keep it to ourselves. Don't let anybody know that we are that imperfect that we've crossed the line. And so we keep it closed, we don't tell anybody, and we make sure, like maybe those religious leaders strutting around, you know, in perfection, you know, we are perfect, right? But, you know, we as fathers, we as mothers, you know, we need to draw the lines and let our children know that it's okay. You know, we know you've crossed that line. We want you to come back to the right side. We're here for you. You know? Realizing that we can learn from our mistakes in life. This is an open system of family. I hope that makes sense. Just talking about that real quickly. But it is the Holy Spirit who reveals things in our lives, who reveals things in family that needs to change. It's the Spirit who does that. You know, hopefully some of my words here will help us to bring these things to light, but it's indeed the Spirit who brings before us these moments of truth in our lives. These times where we clearly see a need for change in our individual lives or in family life. It is the Spirit who is spurring us on into action, spurring us on. Is that what he does, the Spirit? Does he spur you on? I'm reminded of I'll call them cowboys because I think that's what they really wanted to be. I was in Home Depot just down the road one day, and these two guys walk in the Home Depot. They're buying some lumber, and I turned around because it was like, ching, 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 ching. They had spurs on. That was, I don't know what the purpose of them having spurs on their cowboy boots was, other than looking really awesome. But I guess they were, what are spurs used for on boots, right? Anybody ride horses? I mean, and what happens? They go. They move into action, right? And so that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He spurs us. Praise the Lord, right? Love to be spurred, don't you? So yeah, we choose to ignore that spurring, or we choose to be moved into action, and we believe that he will give us what we need to respond. Fathers and mothers, yes, we need to be open and honest in our families. We need to be transparent in our families. We need to be vulnerable to having an influencing change in our lives and in our families, realizing we're going to make mistakes and we're going to learn from them. We're going to be open and honest about those. We're going to observe the needs and then paint some truth. Clear distinctions of what truth is in our families. We're going to pray together. We're going to discuss how we can change, solutions for change. And then we're going to create plans together and how we can implement those changes. How we can paint lines that we can follow. Highlighting scripture that we need to abide by and be obedient to. And then we're going to act upon it, right? We're going to act upon it. We're going to implement action. And we're not going to neglect and quench the Spirit spurring us on in our lives. How many of you get up in the morning and look at yourselves in the mirror? And you're thinking, wow, you could have used more sleep. That was me, actually, last night. I had this, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but there was a mosquito in our room, and it woke me up twice, and it was buzzing, and I'll just turn all the lights on, and I'll find it. I was hunting and hunting and hunting. I could not find that mosquito. But anyways, I looked at myself in the morning. I was like, you had a rough night. And so, but I did something about it, you know? Luckily, fortunately for you, I didn't show up the way my reflection was in there this morning when I woke up. And so James 1, I'm winding it down here. It says here, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and then walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. He will bless you as an individual. He will bless your family, and he will bless, as Tina was putting forth here this morning, I was like part one of the message, he will bless the generations. He will bless your family you don't even know about. If we are painting these lines and abiding by the good truth that God wants us to follow. So we need to act upon our realization of our need for change in our lives, just like we all respond to the reality of our reflection in the morning. Let us not fool ourselves. We must act and respond to the Lord God Almighty. When he is spurring us, when he is putting before us these moments of truth. So in conclusion, another plug here for you men. I encourage you to really come out Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday. We get together. I mean, the best part of it is the fellowship and just talking and hearing stories and this and that. And we do look at truth. We have some study. We'll be doing the Play the Man study here coming up. And I hear great stories. One was some gentlemen we were just kind of laughing and talking about. They were talking about the good old days and where they would be clearing farmland around, you know, Hampton Roads and use dynamite to do it. And so dynamite, it just keeps coming up before me. Johnny mentioned it in his message last Sunday. It came up in my devotions. And then on Wednesday night, they were talking about dynamite. So I'm going to use this as an illustration. Now, this isn't dynamite. This is just an illustration for you. So you can take this home. You know, I'm trying to really leave you with an explosive vision here as you go. So the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who can... This is what it was saying in my devotional. He is the only one who can blow up our stubbornness. He is the only one who can spur us on. You know, he is the one that moves us. And so I was reminded of this show I was watching. I think it was about like frontier people in Alaska. And this one fella who was a dynamite expert was telling us viewers sitting on our couches how he uses dynamite. And he says, well, you, I can do, he had this massive stump in his field. He was trying to clear this area. And he says, I can do whatever I want with this dynamite. He says, I can move this stump clear to the other side. And I can move it whatever way I want, or I can blow it to smithereens. And this is all the tools of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, I'll drill into it. This is another tool of the Spirit. If we let him, he drills into us. And he blows up those obstacles in our lives. Just like they were Josiah, they were destroying all kinds of stuff that didn't need to be in the land, right? So that's what we need to do. We need to let the Lord God penetrate and his Spirit to blow up and to remove all the things in our lives that don't need to be there. And we just need to let him do this. And that's maybe the toughest part of it. Letting him come into our heart. Letting him change us. It's he who changes if we let him. Letting him just move in our lives so that he can make his way. Clear the fields of our heart so that new growth can happen. So that the generations can be blessed through us. Yeah. So let us, you know, invite the Lord. When we have this moment of truth that comes before us, let's just not stop at praying about it. Let's ask him, you know, what would you have me do, Lord? What's the plan you have for me? And then also, how do I act? And we depend on the Holy Spirit to act. He is dynamite. Dynamite power of the Lord beyond belief. And so hopefully that's a illustration that you can meditate on this week. That as Jesus told the religious leaders, problem is you don't know the dynamite power of God. So I pray that you would indeed know. Hosanna team, if you'll come up now to close us out in the last song. I pray that you will indeed understand the dynamite power of God, the love that he has for you, his heart to see you live an abundant, full life. And that so that we would first repent of things that we know we need to change and then believe that change can happen. Amen.